Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Today is October 12th, 2025. Can you believe it? And we are in the middle of, yes, it has come back, Columbus Day. Columbus Day weekend. Let's have a small celebration for Chris.
Yay!
He's back. Italians everywhere are celebrating. So in their honor. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
I always make you say your name after so you can own everything I say.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you can't disclaim. Oh my gosh. Well, so last week we had a little bungle on the guest situation, but we're going to try it again this week, and we have a fail-safe plan. So just going to announce my fail-safe plan in case it doesn't work. I just want you to know I had one. All right, so first hour, we are talking about the Proposition 50 campaign here in California. So if you are somewhere other than California and you're thinking, oh, who cares about that? You do super care about it because the crazy stuff that's happening here, well, always goes there. And the other part of it is Gavin Newsom wants to run for president, so you can get a little sneak peek behind the curtain just in case you're not watching the news and find out the kind of stuff he does in case you were conflicted and thought you should elect him because he had good hair or something. Which seems to be a criteria, and that is...
Oh, he's got good hair.
And that is perplexing to me, because I think his hair is scary, and I think he looks like a vampire. But, okay. So, full disclosure. It's Full Disclosure Sunday in honor of Christopher Columbus. Second hour, we're going to make a run again with Alan Gulslow. I've got to look at it, how you pronounce it again. Darn it, I lost my note. And why are Americans ignorant of our own history? So, anyway, failsafe is we're going to keep Mark Moisher as a hostage for the second hour in case Alan bails on us again. And I did tell him that this is not the first time he has heard it. So, our guest, Mark Moisher, is not knocking at the door, but someone else is. He is an attorney with the Dillon Law Group. He's been there since 2017. He's a passionate advocate for justice, renowned for his ability to challenge powerful adversaries and uphold the rights of the underrepresented. And who's in? Oh, it's Robert. Hi, Robert. Robert Exter, the guy who does our archives. Three cheers for Robert. Okay. Whether facing Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, or entrenched political interests, Mark's practice is anchored in the principle that scales of justice should remain balanced, regardless of the opposition's resources. And I got to tell you, Mark can pack more information into 5 minutes than pretty much anybody else, except maybe the guy we speak to about economics periodically whose name eludes me, but he's a pretty fast talker too, but you're going to learn a lot this hour. So we're going to learn kind of what Prop 50 is about. There are a lot of people who don't know what's happening, don't know what it is, and are not sure if yes means yes or yes means no. So we're going to decode all that. And if you're smart, you're voting no, but bottom line, we'll spoiler alert it at the front end. Mr. Moisha, how goes it?
How we doing?
How goes it in the once great state of California?
You know, California is still a great state. It's just being run by some pretty pathetic politicians.
Yeah, exactly. Can you go just a teensy bit closer to your microphone?
Is that better?
Ooh, yes, that's much better.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
No problem. We definitely have a lot to cover over the next hour or two.
Oh,
and
Lord, yes.
You know, that's some pretty high praise that you gave me of what I can do in 5 minutes. Imagine what we're going to do in an hour.
Oh, that's why I was kind of warning them. I mean, every time, because you have popped in on different meetings that I've been in, especially up here in the North State, and people are like, that guy knows a lot of stuff. I got to go home and think about that. I'm like, well, that's high praise.
Well, you know, hey, we get around, but this Prop 50 is, you know, pretty scary stuff. And I know this about me, but most of your listeners probably don't. I like to travel, you know, when I'm not in court litigating or running for office, I do like to travel the world, and I like to do Ironman races around the world. And
I forgot about that. That's right.
And in August, I was supposed to go to Estonia, And next weekend, I was supposed to be in Lisbon. And when Prop 50 came down and I saw what they were trying to do, I was like, ooh. I actually canceled two international trips just to stay down here and see what we could do to try to defeat this Prop 50 in the courthouse if necessary, but the ballot box preferably.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the tidiest and has the least, you know. I mean, it's there's always that danger when we involve the courts that there's a fumble on the play and we wind up, you know, tangled in the rope. Where would you like to begin with this? I know the story about Texas is very long and cumbersome. Can we do like the elevator version or maybe how about the 10-minute version, because we got 10 minutes till a break and we can kind of get that Texas thing figured out? Because, I mean, bottom line, I think most people who oppose Prop 50 think gerrymandering is wrong. Not a fan of whatever Texas is doing. However, Texas really is disconnected from us in a lot of ways because they don't have the same constitutional protections that we do on the drawing of the lines and who draws the lines and when they draw the lines.
Well, apparently we don't have any constitutional protections either.
Apparently the legislature's in charge of that. So I don't know how you want to attack that, but maybe you could give folks at least help them so when their friends come at them with that, they have something smart to say.
Well, let's start with, for those people who have not received any text, have not received any mail, have not heard anything on the radio.
Oh, that's true. Let's go with them. Yeah.
Prop 50. Let's start with why we even need to talk about text.
That's
true. And that is because Gavin Newsom and the Democrat Party are saying that this is a response to Donald Trump and Texas. They have put forth this proposition that Donald Trump is this evil human being, and he's trying to destroy democracy, and he told Texas to redistrict, and because Texas redistricted, now California needs to redistrict, do a mid-decade redistricting in order to counter what Texas has done. And so the political narrative by Gavin Newsom to try to rally his base, because understand, his base naturally does not like politicians picking their voters. His base generally does not like the concept of gerrymandering. His base likes the commission. And what he is asking his base to do is the exact opposite of what their natural voting tendency would be. And so in order to get his voters, his strongest supporters, to do something that they would not naturally want to do, he is having to create a lie. And that lie, that gaslighting to the people of California is, we have to do this because Trump is destroying democracy. It is Trump derangement syndrome. He has realized that Trump derangement syndrome is so strong with his base that he needs to sell this Prop 50 as the anti-cure for everything that Trump is doing. And in order to, now that we have established what Gavin Newsom is doing, now over this next hour, we need to systematically go through all the various aspects, whether it's Nancy Pelosi, whether it's Texas, and actually educate the voters of how it is a lie that Texas, you know, was doing something because Trump told them to do it. Or, you know, and that, you know, Nancy Pelosi has been a major funder trying to destroy the commission for years. And so we got a lot to unpack here, but you keep bringing up Texas. And
and before we leave that opening salvo, So when this was approved by 61% of the voters to have congressional districts drawn by a citizens commission rather than the legislators, I do have a list posted. It's connected on the website for today's show. So let's see, today's October 12th, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us, just so I don't leave you in suspense here. But some of the names, AARP, Los Angeles Chamber of Commerce, League of Women Voters, ACLU, NAACP. I mean, these are not conservatives that back the idea of taking away the ability to draw districts and put it in the hands of a citizens commission. I mean, this was, you know, ostensibly a pretty left-leaning group of folks who supported that. And now it's like, nope, we have to save democracy, so forget everything we said before.
It's basically, you know, Trump derangement syndrome. I think it's even greater than that. If you really want to get to what the root is for why those organizations have done a complete 180, it is probably a lot to do with what Trump did with Doge really early on, where the USAID, you know, he's cut off the funding to a lot of these NGOs that have funded money to these liberal organizations. And this is, you know, their way of trying to get back at Trump and try to maybe regain the funding of American taxpayer dollars that they somehow think that they are entitled to. These organizations seem to think that they can get fat on the taxpayer's dime at a time when we have record deficits. And so, you know, their solution is Trump derangement syndrome, or, you know, an all-out attack on Trump. And as such, you basically are seeing these leftist organizations who disguise themselves in neutral-sounding names. We are seeing these organizations show their real color and show that there actually is no principle to their positions that they took 10, 15 years ago, that they will sacrifice good policy for political expediency.
Yeah, so it's not about what's good for California. It has nothing to do with what's good for the constituents of California. It's all about Trump, which really is, I don't know, it's definitely deranged.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't want to get into Texas because we're starting to come close on to the break, so we'll have to save Texas discussion after the break. But I think for your listeners, the most important thing to understand why they need to vote no on Proposition 50 is because what Proposition 50 does is it ensures that Bay Area coastal elites dictate who the congressional representative is for the North State region. Because if you think that the farmers in the North State have the same desire for a congressman as the coastal elite, I got a bridge I'd like to sell you that goes to Hawaii. It's a 4-lane bridge, just so you know.
Well, and let's go even farther. The guy that will represent those far northern counties, Modoc, Lassen, Siskiyou, Shasta, all the way down to Sausalito. In some places, it's only 3 miles wide, so that seems super fair. And I really hope you go look at the map. It is the green district at the top of the state. It has a long, long elephant trunk runs along the coastal section to pick up population. And that guy is Jared Huffman. Jared Huffman is not just a, hey, I don't believe in God, but go ahead and do whatever you're going to do. He is a hardcore atheist. Who just lambasted, and I believe it was the Secretary of Transportation, in a hearing for having a picture of Jesus in his office. And he flew into a rage in a hearing about that. It's like, okay. He also was the attorney for the Natural Resource Defense Council that helped take the water away from the Central Valley in addition to other places. So if people in Northern California think they're going to get help with wolves and water and other resource issues, wrong guy.
You're basically saying that, you know, what they've done is they've taken the congressional district that generally represented the ranchers, the farmers, in the north part of California, and they divided it in two and made sure that two different Bay Area individuals will make, be doing the representation of the farmers. And there's just this particular plan, Prop 50, is designed to ensure that you don't have representation. I mean, down in Orange County, which should have four congressmen, Gavin Newsom split it into eight different ways to ensure that Los Angeles County and San Diego County pick the congressman for Orange County. You go out to the Central Valley, you know, really agricultural area, and several of the congressmen are basically being, are going to be, you know, Bay Area people representing the Central Valley. They did a number of, with this map to make sure that the, you know, big city elites are dictating coverage or dictating representatives across the state. You know, Inland Empire has the same problem. And it's just, these maps were drawn to make sure that the rural voters of California do not have a say in who they're representing.
Yeah, and people could say, well, other people can run against them. They should just win in an election. The problem is, when you do the math, they're unwinnable seats by anyone outside of the Democratic Party. The District 2 at the top of the state, which should be District 1, but whatever, isn't its District 2.
That's just one of Gavin Newsom's five constitutional violations regarding Prop 50.
Yeah. And so while he was doing that, I mean, that's a Democrat plus 25. I think it leans 25. So, like, no one's going to, I mean, you're not going to have a formidable candidate, and you can't win it. So these are all but done, which for a bunch of people who are concerned about, you know, representation and fairness and all those fun things, I guess we don't care about it as long as we, as long as we're fighting Donald Trump. Bizarre. So, I told you I had a million songs about lying and stuff, so we're gonna zoom in on those today. Our guest is Mark Moisher, and we're talking about Prop 50 and the legal aspects of it. We're gonna come back. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at
wethepeopleradio.us.
People think I'm crazy, cause I worry all the time. If you paid attention, you'd be worried too. Just kill you. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so, cause there's a jungle out there. There's a jungle out there. There's a jungle out there.
Sorry about that, guys. I pulled up an extra song just in case you didn't send me one, and I hit the wrong song. So
I like it. It's still true. And it fits. If it was some kind of happy song, we'd have to say, hey, that was fake. But no, that's a good accident. And we will get into some of the money on this, because the popular, story out there is that, oh, the Republicans are dumping a ton of money and the left is just trying to catch up. Yeah. I'm sure Mark will like to laugh about that later. Or now.
Political propaganda.
Ah, yes. So much, so little time. All righty. So, what do you think they should know at this point?
Well, I think we should move on to Texas, because we've kind of teased that enough. So let's do the history of why Texas redistricted it. So we got to go back in time to way, way, way back in time. And I mean, I'm talking, we got to go way back in time to the year 2021. And in 2021, we had the census data came out, and every state was required to redistrict their congressional races. And Texas picked up a couple seats, and they had to, you know, redraw the lines in Texas. California had to redraw the lines, and we had a commission that spent thousands of hours listening to public testimony and then drew the lines. Texas drew the lines. You know, Florida drew the lines. You know, Pennsylvania drew the lines. Massachusetts drew the line. Everybody had to draw their congressional district. Now, at the same time that, you know, every state is redrawing the lines, every county has to redraw their lines for county representation. You know, and so in Shasta, you have to redraw the line for county supervisor. Down in, Sacramento, they have to redraw the lines for county supervisors. Well, in Galveston County, Texas, they had to redraw the lines for commissioners. And they drew the lines, and they decided, you know what, we're not even going to look at the race of the voters and draw these lines. We're just going to do a, you know, where are the voters, let's draw the lines that make the most amount of sense based upon where people live.
And just by the numbers, because it's a numbers, yeah. Always a numbers game to get all the, you know, all the districts are supposed to be, you know, mostly the same.
Well, Joe Biden and the Department of Justice sued Galveston County, Texas. And they said, you were supposed to create a voting rights district. And you were to create the voting rights district by taking the Latinos clear over here in this section of the county and the black voters over in this portion of the county, and you were to create a coalition district. You're supposed to gerrymander the district in order to ensure that these two minority groups had the ability to join together to elect a representative that was their color. Now, I don't know how you do that because you're drawing two different coalitions, but, you know, to create these coalition districts, but that is what Joe Biden sued over. That lawsuit went all the way to the Fifth Circuit en banc panel. And the Fifth Circuit en banc panel said, no, 30 years ago, we had this decision, and where we said that you were supposed to draw these coalition districts if you could under the Voting Rights Act. And since that time, our sister circuits in the Fourth Circuit and the Sixth Circuit have said that that's unconstitutional. And we're now looking at our case law, and we realize as a court, we were an overactive judiciary. We were a legislating judiciary when we made that decision back in the 80s. And we are overturning that decision because now that we look at the original intent of the 14th Amendment, which is an equal protection clause, and we actually look at the language of the Voting Rights Act, we do not think that you are allowed to draw lines with race in mind, and that is what you're doing when you're drawing these coalition districts where you're gerrymandering seats in order to ensure that multiple minority groups as a coalition are somehow able to elect a representative. Now, let me tell you what that is and strip all the legalese out. Basically, what the old Fifth Circuit decision was, You are required to draw seats that are going to elect Democrats. That is what they were using these coalition districts is it was an effort to ensure that you drew a seat that guaranteed a Democrat was elected regardless of what the natural population would have voted. And so as a result of that Fifth Circuit decision that said, hey, we got to step back. We got to stop being judicial activists. We're going to overturn that decision. And as such, we are now saying that coalition districts are unconstitutional. We're going with what other courts have done. We're going back to original intent. Well, the problem is in 2021, when Texas drew their line, they drew four congressional coalition districts. So these four lines are now technically unconstitutional. And so my former boss, Harmeet Dhillon, who became the head of the civil rights at DOJ, when she was sworn in, one of the first things she did is she wrote a letter to Greg Abbott and the Republican Party and said, what are you going to do? Do I have to sue you, or are you just going to take care of this problem? Because you now have four congressional districts in your state that were drawn with race in mind. And these four districts are hideous looking. One of them I call backward C. It kind of goes, it starts at Fort Worth and kind of goes over Dallas and kind of comes around the side of Dallas and then back underneath. It's a huge backward C. It's a very narrow district, but it covers a whole lot of real estate, because what they're doing is they're just picking up these black and Hispanic districts all over the place in order to create a district like that. There's another one, I think it's north of Houston. It's hideous. The way I describe it is you start on the clock at like 1 o'clock, and you run kind of down in a triangle to 6 o'clock, then in kind of a straight line up to about 10 o'clock, and then you come across back to noon, and then you just shoot straight out for a long ways, and then you do kind of this panhandle down. I mean, it was a very grotesque district that is very clearly being drawn to select minority groups so that you can ensure that Democrats have a safe seat. And I actually don't even want to say Democrats. I want to say the lobbyists have a safe seat. Because when you create districts that are guaranteed to elect a person based upon their color, what that means is that the lobbyists are able to go in and they are able to control who runs for that seat, who wins that seat in the primary, because it's, you know, at that point in time, whoever wins in the primary is guaranteed to win. And yeah. So these are not necessarily representatives. These of the people, they become representative of special interest. And the people who run and hold these seats are some of the most obnoxious, some of the most partisan politicians.
Don't forget entitled.
In D.C. yeah. And so we had a problem with these four congressional districts. And Texas, under threat of lawsuit, went in there and they fixed these lawsuits. Now, what happens when you stop drawing lines based upon race, and you start drawing the lines based upon the voters in the area? Well, in one of these districts, right next to it was Crenshaw's seat down in Houston. And he had a seat where Trump won, I think, by like 25 points. And you had a Democrat seat where, you know, the Democrats are going to win by like 15 points. Well, when you start massaging those two districts together, all of a sudden, you end up with two Republican seats, and actually, instead of having a seat where the Republican or the Democrat is guaranteed to win by huge margins, you now all of a sudden have two Republican seats that lean Republican, but Republicans by 5 points or 5-7 points. And so they are now more competitive, which means that there is a less of an opportunity for special interest to control the race, and more of an opportunity for the voters of the state of Texas to actually dictate their representation. So what naturally happened when you got rid of these four coalition districts is that they took the super red seats beside it and made them less super red, but they took these absolute grotesque gerrymandered seats and made them slightly lean Republican seat, and that just naturally happened based upon the voting patterns of the people in the area, and that when you stop drawing these underlying districts that are 5 miles wide.
Yeah, they just look like big squiggles. I mean, you know, you literally have people, at any given point in time, you're going to have people across the street from each other in different districts. That stuff happens because you got to draw a line somewhere. But these were literally snaked through communities just to pick up people based on demographic, which seems kind of contrived.
But, Mark, wait a second. Texas picked up 5 Republican seats. And you're talking about 4 districts. What happened on this 5th one? Well, this is a little bit of politics. You know, since they're redrawing the line, there happened to be a district kind of in the San Antonio area that because of the swing in the Hispanic vote, it had been a safe Democrat seat, and it was becoming a toss-up seat as a result of the changing demographic and voting patterns of Hispanics. And so since they were redrawing the lines, the Republicans were in charge, and they said, hey, we're going to spend millions of dollars trying to flip the seat. We're at the process right now. Let's just change a few of these lines right now. Instead of it now being a toss-up, it's now going to be a lean, slightly Republican. And so, it was a purposeful act. Would they have done it if they didn't have to fix the bad district? No, they would not have. But it was an opportunity that the Republicans saw. And it's like, you know, rather than us spending millions of dollars, let's help ourselves out here a little bit. And, you know, by, you know, shifting a few lines, it was not the most major line change that happened, but it basically was a district that would have become Republican probably by 2030. They just helped it be there by 2026. So the Democrats were going to lose that district anyway.
But that's been buried in the narrative, obviously.
Because unfortunately,
the president, you know, we all know, he says stuff. Sometimes when he says stuff, you know, even the supporters are like, oh no, don't do that. So when he said, oh good, thanks for, you know, drew me 5 new seats, it's like, oh no. So then it became Trump forced Texas to draw him 5 new seats, so we have to counter it. And that's pretty hard to refute because look how long it's taken us to unscramble all that. They just have a different setup in Texas than we do in California, and maybe we ought to let's take our break just a teensy bit early, and then when we come back, maybe explain the constitutional layout on the California side, and
let's do it.
Because they don't have any of that, so really we only have to tell one side of the story because there is only one side. We will come back. Our guest is Mark Moisher. We are talking about Proposition 50 that is on your ballot for November the 4th in California. And for those of you around the country who think Gavin Newsom might be a good president, you should watch this because, I have a theme song for him. How's that? You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Compliance. We just need your compliance. You will feel no pain anymore. No more defiance. We just need your compliance. Just give us your compliance. We won't let you feel lost anymore. No more self-reliance.
So, Gavin, the musical, you got 2 options there. I do think compliance hits the nail more on the head, though. So, Mark, Talk to us about the constitutional issues with Prop 50 here.
I'd love to, because I had two different lawsuits that I filed over the constitutional aspect here. Understand that the United States of America is not a democracy.
And a shockwave heard around the world.
California is not a democracy. And if you look at our California flag, what does it say underneath the bear?
Has that very difficult word republic in it.
Republic. Okay, we are a constitutional republic. What that means is that we have an agreement between the people and those who govern us, that we have given them the ability to govern us within the limitations of what we call the Constitution. Because if we were a democracy, what that would mean is that the will of the majority controls 100% of the time. And if we live in a democracy, then the Ku Klux Klan could just kill all African-Americans, and there would be no reputation, no harm, no foul, because, hey, we voted on it, right? Blacks can't vote, fine. But no, we live in a republic where there is limitation on the will of the majority. And so it's very important to go back and understand what is in our Constitution. And one of the very first provisions that was put in our current Constitution is that the legislature, before they are even allowed to have a hearing on a bill, they had to sit on it for 30 days. And the reason why they sit on it for 30 days is to allow the public the opportunity to see the introduced language and to decide whether or not they want to go up to Sacramento and let their voice be heard on this legislation that is going to eventually govern them. And so what does Gavin Newsom do? He introduces language on Monday, August 18th, and the committees hear that language on Monday, the 18th. They don't even wait 24 hours, let alone 30 days, before they are having hearings on this language. I mean, they just literally blow through the Constitution and just say, full speed ahead. What are some of the other provisions in the Constitution that Gavin Newsom has violated? Well, within our Constitution, there is a doctrine, and it's not spelled out black and white, but basically the doctrine is the legislature cannot do something that they are not authorized to do. And so since the Constitution specifically said that it is the duty of the Independent Redistricting Committee to draw the map, that means that the legislature did not have that authority. And so when the legislature drew an approved map, that is what's called an ultra vires activity. It is an activity that they did not have the authority to do. And since they did an activity that they were not authorized to do under the California Constitution, that act is unconstitutional, and thus what they voted on should never be enforceable. Now, there is another provision in our Constitution that says, redistricting occurs at, right after the census. That, the California Supreme Court has interpreted that as being that you cannot in California do a mid-decade redistricting. That is a famous case from the 80s. It's called Duke Mason versus the legislature. And the legislature did not like the redistricting. And a couple years in, They said, hey, what if we go to the people and ask for the people's permission so that way we could do a mid-decade redistricting? And the Supreme Court said, no, under our Constitution, redistricting can only occur once every 10 years. And sorry, but you're not allowed to you do a mid-decade redistricting. And so, I mean, there's another violation to our Constitution.
And we did do a redistricting after the last census, correct?
You could only do it immediately after the census, unless a court says that you drew the lines unconstitutionally, and then you're supposed to be able to redraw it. Well, there's never been a lawsuit over our line, so thus there had not been, you know, there was no opportunity for California to do a redistricting. Gavin Newsom doesn't care. He just does what he wants. He violates the Constitution. You know, another thing in our Constitution says that if you are drawing lines, you're supposed to keep communities of interest together. You're supposed to divide cities as few times as possible. You're supposed to divide counties the least amount of times as possible. You're supposed to keep communities of interest together. He just ignored all that. He just drew the lines the way that he wanted to draw the line because he doesn't care about this pesky little thing called the Constitution. As I have counted it, there are five major constitutional violations. And as such, I filed two different lawsuits with the California Supreme Court. And what the California Supreme Court did is they declined to hear the case. They did not actually rule on the merits. They just said, we're not going to get involved. You know, and basically they said to Gavin Newsom, do what you want. We are not going to enforce the Constitution. So where does that leave me? Well, I am preparing the next lawsuit. If the voters of California do pass this unconstitutional Prop 50, I will be filing a lawsuit on Wednesday after the election, and we're already talking to experts. We've already found where these maps violate the 14th Amendment, and we are preparing to file a lawsuit the very next day. And unfortunately, based upon what I am seeing right now, that lawsuit is going to be necessary because for whatever reason, Democrats are extremely excited to get out there and stick it to Donald Trump, and Republicans are just not voting. It's very sad to see, but Republican and independent voters apparently do not understand that they need to be voting no on Prop 50, and they're not returning their ballots, and the Democrats who want to stick it to Donald Trump are just racing to the polls and turning in their ballots at record numbers. So unfortunately, unless we can turn this around and start getting people to vote no on Prop 50, I'm going to be busy for the rest of this year preparing lawsuits.
Well, and the crazy part is you have a lot of people who disagree with this, but then they'll say it doesn't matter. They're just going to do what they're going to do. And it's like, and then, you know, what I've handled a lot of the text messages for the volunteer on the volunteer side for No on 50, and you know what about the Epstein files? It's like, okay, that's random. And you know, when are you going to stop voter fraud? It's like, I've got an idea. Let's work on that while we vote and keep Gavin Newsom from ruining the state. Maybe we could do both.
Maybe
like simultaneously.
So your lawsuit. Let's assume or let's pretend that 50. Does pass, you file your lawsuit. Will that lawsuit, is that going to be in time to keep 50 from being enacted?
That is a great question.
Go Bill.
And what this is probably more of an education than most of your voters or listeners will care to have, but there's a federal law that when you deal with congressional districting, it goes straight to what's called a three-judge panel. So we will be filing a lawsuit getting what's called a three-judge panel. Hmm. We will be asking the court for what's called a temporary restraining order from stopping Prop 50 from going into effect. And for an order on a preliminary injunction, which means our case is so solid that there, it doesn't, you know, we, even before we get to all the evidence, the court should issue an injunction stopping Prop 50 from going into effect, because we are most likely going to be the prevailers of this action in the long run. And so let's keep the status quo. Let's not let the map change. And so that's called the preliminary injunction. We are going to be asking the court to enter a preliminary injunction by Thanksgiving, so that the losing side has the ability to take it to the Supreme Court, and for the Supreme Court to make a decision on what we, as lawyers, call the rocket docket. There would not be oral arguments in the Supreme Court. It would just be a decision on the merits, on the papers, that we would be asking the Supreme Court by December 19th to issue an order stopping the new map from going into effect until the case is fully litigated. And so what that would mean is that if the Supreme Court were to issue what's called a stay pending appeal, the court would say, okay, Prop 50 maps are not going into effect. Now go litigate these Prop 50 maps, put forth all your evidence, bring forth all your testimony, let the three-judge panel hear all the evidence, and after they make a decision, and then we go through the appellate process, then, you know, then we'll decide whether the Prop 50 maps are, were unconstitutional or not, or whether, or whether we have to keep the old or new. And so that is kind of the legal process. You do not get a full adjudication in 6 weeks. So the early process will be just about the injunction. Should the Prop 50 map be enjoined from going into effect while we litigate the issue? And so that's going to be the fun stuff that we'll be doing between the 5th and Christmas. And then after, you know, if the injunction is granted, then we'll probably be litigating the map sometime next summer.
Yeah, and it would just be so much, not to try to put you out of a job, but I know there's plenty to do, so you won't be bored. But wouldn't it be nice if the voters just rose up and said, no, thank you. Like, we see what you're doing, and this is silly and crazy. And no, just no. That would see that the thing is, you can, we can sue this stuff down, but I think sometimes people miss the human element. You know, the legislature, if they are not forced back by the voters, it just tells them, we'll just,
we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want, and yeah. And so there is, you know, there is much to blame as a lot of my one of my text guy, you know, messages that came back said, I will vote against anything Mussolini wants. And I was like, Mussolini, that's funny. I like that. That was new
well,
for me.
I'm calling the Prop 50 map the Gavamanders. They're
right.
Not gerrymandered, they're Gavamanders.
And you have a really good video on that, by the way, and it's linked on the Shasta GOP page, but I will put it on the page for today. Because it does explain it well. It's really helpful, actually. And I just think that the voice of the voters is the most important. And honestly, don't take for granted that your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your coworkers, like the people you come in contact with, the banana guy at the grocery store, you know, I mean, ask people, like, hey, do you know about this? Don't assume that they do, and ask them if they're, you know, are they voting? Your neighbors, if they don't get out that much or they're afraid to mail in their ballots, California, you can ballot harvest. And what that means is you could turn in someone else's ballot. You could literally go door to door in your neighborhood and say, hey, I'm going down to the registrar of voters. Want me to take your ballot for you? There are many, many things we can do, and you don't have to be a professional to do it. It's going to take all of us to open our mouth and turn out the voters. If they don't want to mail it, great. Drop it off at the registrar or go to the polls. But just you got to show
you
up.
You got to vote.
You
yeah.
got to show up. And so whether or not you love the system, you think it's rigged, you think they'll cheat, blah, 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 make it tough. While we're working on all of that, you still, gosh, you got to show up.
You got to show up. And, you know, the thing is, this is, Gavin keeps calling this temporary. Well,
yeah.
Here's what's going to happen. If this passes, what stops them in 2032 when they go, you know what, we don't like the map that the commission did. We think we could do a better job. Well, the politicians will just you know, send it to the voters and we'll do it again. And, you know, the people who work the commission, they're volunteers.
Yeah, and this just tells them they wasted their lives. I mean, how horrible.
Yeah, so if the politicians can just change it whenever they want.
Yeah, what's the point?
Who's going to do the commission?
Yeah,
it's like
no one.
Why even bother?
Mark, we have run up against it. And it looks like Alan is here, so you are free to go about your day. And we will have you back before Prop 50 hits the ballot box to do a little bit more.
Thanks for explaining all that, because it needs to be explained to people.
Bottom line, you don't vote. Here's what happens.
Yep.
We'll
just
be right back.
Your rights.
Devil appears.